Women's International Week for Peace and Freedom show, The Wake Up Call. I'm Dick Paddock, your host, and we're coming to you over WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
It's closing time. Out where lonely with romantic and sad, at least with acid and the Holy Spirit's crying, where's the beef? And the moon is swimming naked and the summer night is fragrant with a mighty expectation of relief. So we struggle and we stagger down the snakes and up the ladder to the tower where the blessed hours chime. And I swear it happened just like this, a sigh, a cry, a hungry kiss. The gates of love, they buzz an inch. I can't say much has happened since, but closing time,
closing time, closing time, closing time.
I swear it happened just like this, a sigh, a cry, a hungry kiss. The gates of love, they buzz an inch. I can't say much has happened since,
can't say much has happened since, can't say much has happened since,
but closing time.
Closing time.
I loved you for your beauty, but that doesn't make a fool of me. You were in it for your beauty too. And I loved you for your body. There's a voice that sounds like God to me, declaring,
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 declaring that your body's really you. But sorrow and a sense of overtime. And I missed you since a place got wrecked. And I just don't care what happens next. Looks like freedom, but it feels like death. It's something in between. I guess it's closing time. Yeah, I missed you since our place got wrecked. By the winds of change and the weeds of sex. And it looks like freedom, but it feels like death. It's something in between, I guess. It's closing time. But there's nothing really happening, and the place is dead as heaven on a Saturday night. And my very close companion gets me fumbling, gets me laughing. She's 100, but she's wearing something tight. And I lift my glass to the awful truth, which can't reveal to the ears of you, except to say it isn't worth a dime. And the whole damn place goes crazy twice. And it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding lights of closing time. The whole damn place goes crazy twice. And it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss don't like these dizzy heights. We're busted in the blinding lights. Closing time. Closing time. Oh, the women tear the blouses off and the men they dance on the polka dots. It's closing time. And it's partner found and it's partner lost and it's hell to pay when the fiddler's.
And we're a little discombobulated today. There's been parking mishaps and one thing after another, but we are here and we're glad to be here. We have our guest today, one of our Wolf sisters, Miriam Thompson. We're waiting for possibly another guest, Ruth South, both of whom have letters in the Chapel Hill paper. Ruth's was on Sunday's Chapel Hill paper, and Miriam's was in today's Chapel Hill paper. And both of their letters are concerned with the recent visit of four Israeli Knesset members at our Chapel Hill town council, which came as quite a surprise to many of us in the peace and justice community. I'm going to let Miriam explain why we're concerned about it. And so I'll just start off with Miriam setting that out for us, as she is very good at laying it out very succinctly. Welcome, Miriam, to the radio show. I'm glad you're here. And so we're going to be talking about this visit, which was quite a surprise, of four Israeli Knesset members at our local Chapel Hill Town Council.
First of all, I want to give some background, and I hope everyone can pick up today's Chapel Hill News, because I have a guest column, Sam Bryant, who's our extraordinary webmaster for the Abrahamic Initiative on the Middle East, and I'm really here representing AIM. I'm co-convener with Mark Davidson, pastor of Church of Reconciliation.
Let me just say, maybe we should start off, Miriam. Explain because it's wonderful, what the Abrahamic Initiative is.
Well, and then I'll tell you how we found out about this extraordinary visit.
Yes.
The Abrahamic Initiative on the Middle East, we started a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is faith organizations in our local community, faith and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's focused on the Middle East and specifically the homeland of our faiths, the Abrahamic faiths, which is Jewish, Christian, and Muslim,
mm-hmm.
And focusing on the Israeli occupation. So when we learned but serendipitously from one of our county commissioners that four Knesset members, including the Likud government, and you will know that that's run by Netanyahu, those of you who know Bernie Sanders has indicated his real distress at the occupation, the lack of justice for Palestinians, and his real concern about Netanyahu, which has also been expressed, by the way, by the Obama administration. So, there's been suggestions, would we not allow other? This was a, by the way, a State Department tour. So let me tell you, because you may want to call the State Department's International Visitors Leadership Program. It was coordinated by the Raleigh-based International Focus, which is a cultural exchange program. So I was asked, would you allow other companies to come? I think that the real issue was a democratic conversation before the invitation was listed. I asked the mayor, for example, would you have allowed David Duke of the KKK to come to Chapel Hill as a human rights city and as a vehement opponent of our horrific state HB2 law? Would you allow David Duke? So I think there is a certain vetting process as to who we invite to the Human Rights City. And to remember, the Human Rights City, and I called the former mayor, was established by Chapel Hill based on the International Declaration of Human Rights. So I think if we invite guests, they need to honor the International Declaration of Human Rights, and we should lay out clearly who we are. But
in whatever country they come from, if they are not honoring the Declaration of Human Rights, at least it needs to be a discussion before we have them as our guests.
That's right. I would include Saudi Arabia.
Definitely.
Include Egypt and the other countries that we support, by the way, in addition to Israel with military
Absolutely.
Aid. And the only ones who profit from it, we've laid out, are our military contractors from whom Israel supplies and obtains military weaponry to continue and expand the
occupation.
That's
always a good point. Yeah. With any situation, who profits?
Yeah, that's a very important point to me, and that is that about one-third of the aid we give to Israel for military purposes is spent in Israel, and something close to a half is spent in the United States. The stuff that we give to Egypt, the money we give to Egypt, is all spent in the United States.
And what about Saudi Arabia? Do you know?
Don't know, but it's...
I think a lot of...
Well, I will tell you that the money we give to Saudi Arabia in part is supporting their devastation of Yemen. So I don't know. Israel turns it around, Dick, but it goes to Israel's support
right.
for our police departments. Israel is providing training to our police department. So it's not only being used against the Palestinians in the occupation. It's using to train our own police departments, including Ferguson, of all places, and other cities.
Oh, I've forgotten about that.
Ferguson, that's right.
That's scary.
So there were two meetings. One was with the Knesset members at 1 o'clock. And as I say, we found out about it serendipitously from one of our commissioners because the commissioners had been invited to come to the meeting. And in fact, the chair, I'm happy to say, came and I think learned a lot. Earl McKeed was the only commissioner who came. But we then got on spent the few days before, the 11th, the whole week before, writing letters to the council and addressing key questions that we hoped they would ask, including some of the important information that has been documented by respected, internationally recognized human rights groups. So I want to list who they are. Amnesty International, American Friends Service Committee, the wonderful Doctors Without Borders, Human Rights Watch, the UN Commission on Human Rights. These are, we did not make up this information. We cited international groups that have documented what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in expropriation of Palestinian land, what's happening with detention and abuse and imprisonment of Palestinian children, which is really designed to wipe out any young protest movement to the occupation. That's what it's all about, based on night raids into the children's families' homes. All of this was documented by human rights groups. So one of the members in an article today, it was the Israeli Knesset members. So at 1 o'clock, they have a very cordial conversation for about 2 hours.
And I think you should mention that after we found out about it, the other thing that was distressing was that at first the public were not even invited, or there would be very few seats available, and this was not to be where the public could discuss any back and forth. It was just that maybe at the end we the public would be allowed to ask a few questions. So that was another distressing a part about it, if they were here to learn about our system of government.
I think the mayor's agreement, and it was the mayor, and that's another conversation, that in the future, I think, we know there will be much better
yes.
and more democratic conversations.
Yes.
So I do want to acknowledge the mayor's effort, having realized the breadth of opposition to this visit and the documentation, because everything in our letter to the council that we urged they raise, which they didn't, but we urged they raise with the Knesset, we cited, as I said, the documentation, but I think the mayor really got it.
And particularly, she did say we could have a bigger room.
They moved it into the council chambers, and they at least allowed us comments at the end. So the first 2 hours were civil. They started talking about it. It was almost hard to breathe. They were talking about laws and taxes and governance questions. I mean, the ostensible reason for the visit. And then wonderful Pastor John Heinemeier came up and said, he still kept saying how regrettable he thought the visit was. But in the meantime, we'd like them to comment on the egregious issues of the expanding occupation. And I, at the same time, handed them a copy, which we had sent earlier, a copy of the letter we sent to the council with the key questions and the international human rights citations, and we gave them a copy of the fact sheet, which we can review today. As soon as they got it, they became absolutely apoplectic.
They were furious.
After John Heinemeier, they were furious. This is in true. It's all lies. In fact, of course, they're calling Amnesty, AFSC, Doctors Without Borders, Human Rights Watch, UN Commission, you know, calling the people we're citing liars. And they just, as I said, were apoplectic, ballistic. Then a very dear friend, a Palestinian-American, whose family still lives. This is the 1 o'clock now. The family still lives in the West Bank. Their farm has been expropriated. And he got up and said, my family, you are talking about my family who lives in the West Bank, whose farm was expropriated, hundreds of thousands of Palestinian property whose land and homes have been expropriated and demolished. We can't breathe. And this Likud member got up, pointed his finger at our friend, and said, you can't breathe, but you can stab. At which point, one of the council members, Maria Palmer, walked out. She was so offended, and she made a statement at the evening meeting when more of us were able to testify during the public comment period. By the way, this was an open meeting, but according to the way they interpret the laws of Chapel Hill, even though it's an open public meeting, and they did, you know, put it on the website, they didn't quite describe it as Knesset members. They said international visitors or something. But they don't have to open it up to public comment. But as I said, they allowed at least a few of us to speak at the 1 o'clock meeting. And at their regularly scheduled meeting in the evening, they allowed more of us, of course, during the public comment, when it is clear that the public has a right to testify. And I do want to give Maria Palmer credit, and I'm sure others agreed, though they didn't comment. She said, you know, the real issue beside talking about how offended she was at the way this Palestinian-American was treated, she said, we need a better form, a more democratic process. We need to engage constituents when we have, you know, guests who, that may be controversial. Mm-hmm. So I think that was important to lay out the continuing conversation. The most important thing about this, even though initially we opposed their, you know, their visit, we, I think, thought strategically this was really an extraordinary opportunity. It just turned challenge into opportunity that we were able to really talk about our whole process of inviting guests. We were able to talk more about what it means to have $3.5 billion of tax dollars go to Israel in military aid to support the occupation, let alone Saudi Arabia and Egypt and their human rights violations and the violence unfolding in the Middle East and Syria and so on, you know, which we're supplying intelligence and drone warfare. So I think that is the opportunity that all of us have. We should look at today's paper. I would urge people to continue the conversation, and particularly how important it is to continue a democratic process and really recognizing the importance of a human rights city and the standards it sets in both its own behavior internally. Mm-hmm. Internally, look, we struggle together with the county in providing people the kind of equitable distribution of resources. Mm-hmm. And I think we made a real point in the article, in my guest column anyway, and I urge you to read Sam Bryan's in today's paper and Ruth Zalf and Judy Bellin in Sunday's paper. It's really important, and you can get it online, not only print if you don't have it, but
People can.
You can get it online as if you don't have copies of
the paper.
The print edition. I also would urge people, there are actions you can take. I think we should call the State Department. And there, let me give you the...
Well, that's what I was surprised that the State Department was sponsoring this visit when, I don't know, I think many of us as American citizens were very distressed when Netanyahu, in the middle of a campaign, came and spoke before our Congress. And I think it was very insulting to our president. He was invited by the Republicans. I won't comment on that. But but that he had the gall, I feel, to come in the middle of his campaign trying to help his own campaign along. I just felt it was so cynical and such an insult to our government and to our president. And the State Department, which I think the head of the State Department is appointed by the president, John Kerry. I don't know whether there's a disconnect in their communication, but why in the world they're kind of given that sort of support?
Oh, it's very simple. This was greenwashing the Knesset members. This is a greenwashing trip.
But greenwashing to whom?
Well, it was greenwashing the Israel brand. You know, they're coming to learn about, by the way, after the visit at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they went over to the Botanical Gardens to look at how we're greening our building and solarizing our building. So, you know, they came to learn about that. They came to learn about how we do our system of governance. And then we pointed out that our system of governance, with all its trial and tribulation, especially human rights, that he has no relation to the way Israel is running its apartheid regime. Anyway,
We're going to take a little bit of a break. Our guest just came in, our other guest, who got a little delayed. So, Dick, why don't you play us a little music and we'll take a break and help her get seated. We're pretty crowded in here, and we're going to be welcoming Ruth South, another Wilf sister, who we just have mentioned her name a couple of times, Ruth, that she had a letter in Sunday's Chapel Hill paper regarding the situation with the Knesset members. So, Ruth, we're going to get you seated. And is the music started yet?
Are you back in my life to stay? Or is it just for the day? You're gonna need me. If it's a thrill you're looking for, honey, I'm flexible.
Should be doing. I think they should be really reinforcing Maria's comments, Maria Palmer's comments, and our comments that we made at the evening meeting on the 11th to the council. This is an important opportunity to continue the conversation about our government's policy. This is an important conversation to have in strengthening Chapel Hill's commitment to being a human rights city and the standards it sets based on the international Declaration of Human Rights. And I also think we should be writing to the State Department's International Visitors Leadership Program. You can Google the State Department and find out. This is the same State Department that has these tours. And by the way, these probably aren't the only nefarious figures that they've allowed into the country. But they also have ignored all the petitions, including the late Senator Leahy and Congress members who've been challenging Israelis' violation of human rights, including the detention and imprisonment of Palestinian children as young as 10. So the State Department ignores its mandate under the Leahy Law of the Foreign Assistance Act, which requires them to investigate human rights violations in countries that we give in military aid. But they sponsor these tours of the same actors whose behavior we're protesting.
I just want to mention that we've been listening to Miriam Thompson, one of our Wilf sisters, and we've been talking about the recent visit of 4 Israeli Knesset members to our fair city. And I want to welcome Ruth South, Ruth, we've been mentioning you, that you had a letter in Sunday's Chapel Hill News. I'm glad you were able to make it. I want to say that Ruth and Dick Paddock, our co-hosts here, are both back from Washington. Ruth was there for the Democracy Awakening that Reverend Barber organized. And so I just want to say welcome to you, Ruth. I'm glad you made it.
Thank you. It was
350 organizations, by the way.
Okay. It was an exciting time. But today I want to talk a little bit about the problem of the Palestinian people.
Good.
And having been there back in 2014, May of 2014, I saw a great many things that Israelis don't even get to see. Most of them do not know what is really going on. So I had a lot of questions that I would have asked if I had the opportunity to ask the four Knesset members. And one is, why is the legal system radically different for Israeli and Palestinian children? Why does the Israeli military engage in night raids in occupied Palestinian villages, forcing 10-year-olds from their beds? They handcuff them, they blindfold them, and they take them to unknown locations. Their parents don't know where they are. And then they're questioned, they're repeatedly hit, they are pressured to confess to uncommitted crimes, and if they don't, they take them to another location, and they're questioned by other members of the military. And this goes on and on and on. And sometimes they are beaten. And each year, about 700 children, ages 12 to 17, have endured this inhumane treatment. So, Israel is a signatory to the 1989 Convention on the Rights of the Child, and both UNICEF and Human Rights Watch have condemned the cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment of Palestinian children while in the Israeli military detention center. That's one very huge issue. Because these children, when they finally are released, they may be held for a week or 2 weeks. They may be held longer, but they are not the same when they come back. They have PTSD like our military men that return from war. And it is very, very difficult to restore the civility and the childishness that they once were. In addition, free speech is not equally applied. Since the 2006 Palestinian elections, 12 Palestinian members of the Palestinian Legislative Council have been detained in Israeli prisons without any charges brought against them. Now Israel is targeting all the Israeli-Palestinian human rights organizations that participate in nonviolent struggles against the occupation of Palestinian land. Now these actions go on in many villages, but one very notable one is Belin. Every Friday, they have a nonviolent play, an action on their land with their people. And wouldn't you know that the Israeli military come out and they threaten them. They throw stink bombs. They have this horrible liquid that they spray on anybody. And if you are sprayed with the stink from the stink bomb, you have to strip your clothes off. you cannot wash your clothes. The smell will not come off. You have to scrub your body, and it takes many days for the smell to get off your body. In addition, the Israeli military know who the main actors are in Berlin. And when they were leaving the action at about 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening, one of the children was shot in the leg. And he is the son of one of the main people there in Berlin who helped to put on these nonviolent action programs every Friday. And his son was shot in the leg with a number of bullets, and they had to take him to a hospital. They would not let him into Israel. There was no place there in Gaza. There was no place in Berlin. There was no place in the occupied territory that had a hospital that could take care of him. He was put in a hospital, and then after about 3 days, he was able to cross the border into Jordan and from there get medical attention. So it's been a struggle for him for a number of months because he needed to have another operation in order to walk again.
Oh.
And this is because for the people there, resistance means existence. They cannot exist unless they resist. They have a big separation wall in that village, and they have written on it. They have said, this is illegal. It is illegal to have the wall there. That is their property.
Ruth, can I ask you, is this a village then that you visited?
It is. I slept there in Berlin.
Okay.
And I picked up these bullets, rubber-coated bullets, and I picked up canisters that
So you saw it firsthand.
I saw it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there were so kind. They had very little there. We slept on the floor. They gave us towels. They said, go ahead and shower. Well, they hardly have enough water to cook.
That's the other thing.
And so none of us took showers.
Yeah, to help conserve the water.
Water.
And Ruth, this is such an important point because when the Knesset members were there, I was there, not there in the evening, but I was there in the afternoon, and when Miriam was describing how angry they got at the fact sheet that we were in letter we had handed out, they said, you don't understand. You just get your information from TV. You don't know. Come and see what it's really like. And it was shortly after that that our Palestinian friend stood up and said, he, you know, what had happened to his family, he knew. And so I think the point you're making, and several members who were there didn't get a chance to inform them that several of them had been to Israel and Palestine.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there. But in addition to what I've said about the children and about free speech, according to Reuters news agency, the Israeli military has more than tripled its demolition of Palestinian homes and businesses to make way for the expansion of Israeli settlements. So I wanted to let them know these things and to tell them that...
open your eyes.
Yeah.
You're the one who doesn't know.
Israelis, like Americans, are fed government-sponsored propaganda every single day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea what is really going on with the people of Palestine. Americans don't, and Israelis don't.
Well, we certainly don't, but Israel does have a paper called Haaretz, and they can access with Amiri Haas, who writes about this all the time. And I think it's important, something Ruth said earlier. Israel is censoring its own journalists in telling this story. But I do want to point out that if people Google Haaretz, you will see these stories, and Israelis have access to these stories. But what Ruth is right, like we have in the kind of political demonizing propaganda that we're facing, you know, they are fed hate and insecurity all the time. And I should let you know that one of the things that in Lynn Cain's article today, A, she completely distorted what Maria said.
Let's back up, Lynn.
We'll back up, but I just want to say that I don't excuse Israelis, and many Jewish leaders here are deeply concerned that what's happening as a result of the occupation and the kind of dramatic, horrific details that Ruth saw firsthand, that international human rights groups have documented, which we said earlier. We are continuing to fuel, you know, this kind of machinery in Israel, and we need to really stop the aid, as Dick was talking about earlier. We want that aid redirected to restore and repair Palestinian life. They deserve an equitable share of the land. And I just have to mention, because it's in today's paper as well, Mark Schultz talks about Passover. Jews are going to be celebrating Passover in the next week.
And I want to mention for our audience that both Miriam and Ruth are Jewish, so that this is not an anti-Semitic information that we're having on the radio show. It's from people who, with a great deal of pain and sorrow, are speaking out. Yes, and I just want to back up when we mentioned Lynn Cain. This is somebody who wrote another letter to the editor that we're in great disagreement with,
Not just disagreement. She calls us, you know, the important hundreds of thousands of Jewish Voice for Peace that joined us, that were there at 1 o'clock, that were there in the evening, that spread the word, that sent letters into the council and so on. Hundreds of thousands of Jews across the country are now part of Jewish Voice for Peace. And I have to tell you that even leaders that Lynn Cain.
What did she call you?
She called us self-castigating Jews. By the way, the first thing they want to do is charge anti-Semitism, particularly
right,
against Jews or anybody else that challenges Israel's occupation,
sure,
and U.S. foreign policy.
So they call anybody else anti-Semitic, but if it's a Jewish person, then they say
self-castigating
or self-hating Jew. So there's no way you can criticize Israel. You know,
right,
you're not supposed to do that.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I had read a number of things that were printed in a number of articles. After I came back, I quoted them.
There's a call in.
That's not happening yet. I just wanted to remind you.
These various pieces of information I had gotten was in one of my letters to the editors back in probably June after I returned. And in it, one of the quotes that I had was about Netanyahu saying, during his watch, there will never be a two-state solution.
That's right.
During my watch,
mm-hmm,
no two-state solution. And I quoted it in the article so that people don't think it's something that I am making
that
up.
That you're making up, absolutely. I just want to check. Dick, are we supposed to have a
you want to give the number?
Yeah. I gave you the number. You didn't pass it on.
Oh. I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, would you repeat it?
Yeah. Area code 919-246-9639.
So that's a number of call in that we used to do, and then we kind of got away from. We had a few technical problems, so please do call in. Why don't you give that number again, Dick, please? People may not have been prepared. Have your pencil ready.
919-246-9639.
Thank you, Dick. So is it time for a station break, Dick?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't want us to forget that, and I don't want to be in trouble with the station.
Just a quick one. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on your FM dial, or streamed from the website wcomfm.org. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and it sounds like we're getting a phone call.
Okay. And while he's answering the phone, I'll just...
Hello?
Pardon?
Okay, let me put you on the air.
What did she say?
Okay, speak.
Should she put the headphones on?
Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, we got a call in from Sam.
Hello. I hope you can hear me. Sitting here listening, it just occurred to me how fortunate I am to live in Chapel Hill, to have a station like WCOM that provides, an outlet for messaging that just does not exist anywhere else. And despite requests that the town council not host the Knesset, They did give us a forum for discussion.
No, but if you have the earphones, but our listeners don't have earphones on.
Let's try it again. Would you mind asking a question again? I'm sorry.
She can hear it, but our listeners can't.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't either.
Tell me when you want me to talk.
I can now.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sam.
Okay. I was just saying I feel fortunate to live here in Chapel Hill with WCOM that provides the outlet you do that does not exist anywhere else. And the City Council, to their credit, did give us a chance to ask questions of the Knesset there towards the end. And I think that was largely due to Miriam's good relationship she has with the Council. And thirdly, just to live in a community that has such strong human rights advocates like Miriam and Ruth. I was at both meetings, and the question I'm leading up to, you've already touched on, but I would like to hear Miriam and Ruth elaborate. At the evening meeting, when there was kind of an open mic for the citizens that could say something for up to 3 minutes, there were four citizens that objected to what the council had done. They were all Jewish, and reading in the paper this morning, they were referred to, as just was stated, was self-castigating Jews, and then, as you mentioned on the program, self-hating Jews. And I would like to hear Miriam and Ruth elaborate a bit more than they did on how they react to that charge. To really anyone who is not pro-Israel, that's Jewish, has that leveled against them.
Well, I wasn't there, but I feel that I am not a self-castigating Jew. I do not feel responsible for what Israel is doing.
Whoops.
Are we having problems?
Yeah, it seemed like somebody hung up.
Well, maybe he can hear us on the air. He's probably taking it off so we can listen to it on the air.
See, and one of the technical problems we're having is then for the video, we'll have to have
question.
A
question.
All right, well.
Could you repeat the question?
All right. The question that was asked is, are Miriam and Ruth, do they feel like they are self-castigating Jews?
Oh, that was, okay.
That was... Sam's question. And I do not feel like a self-castigating Jew. I am not blaming myself for what Netanyahu and the Likud party and others are doing. I feel like a person who is a human being and wants to see all human beings given the same rights.
I want to talk as a Jew, and especially from our own Hebrew Bible and from our social justice prophets that have urged us to walk justly with our God. And this is not what's happening in Israel. So I feel that we are being betrayed by the current Likud government. This is not where I think Israel should be. And by the way, major Jewish leaders, I mentioned earlier the hundreds of thousands of members of Jewish Voice for Peace, and I urge people to go on jvp.org, jvp.org, where you will find an extraordinary mission statement from Jewish Voice for Peace. You can go on their rabbinic council and see what their rabbis are saying, and what they're terrified of is that Israel is sacrificing its democracy and own security as a result of this occupation. So we are here to really protect Israelis and Palestinians. We believe they should enjoy equitably the land that they both inherited and live justly. And Bruce talked about water. One of the things that Israel is denying is, of course, water. In the time left, I just want to add a couple of things, because Ruth made a very important point. She reiterated her own experience with the children who are being rounded up in night raids and abused and tortured and imprisoned. And I said earlier that this is a way of Israel completely wiping out a generation of potential protesters by really terrifying the young people. And I think we need to write to Price. That's 20. Dick, help me out. I think I need the Price number. We need to call David Price, because our representative, a letter has been submitted to the State Department by Senator Leahy. It's his amendment to the Foreign Assistance Act.
Yes.
I mentioned earlier that prohibits, demands the State Department investigate human rights violations as a result of countries with whom we give military aid. So it is critical. A letter went in from Senator Leahy, Hank Johnson from, I believe, Kentucky, and nine other Congress members demanding the State Department investigate what Ruth was talking about, the detention of children. This is what I verified by Amnesty International, verified by AFSC and the rest of the human rights organizations I indicated, but we really need.
And isn't the Leahy amendment that if we give aid to any country and then they have human rights violations, is that, I think it's something like that, that we have to take our aid back? What?
Yes.
Cut it off?
Yeah.
It means the Leahy amendment demands that the State Department first investigate abuses of human rights in countries where we are providing military aid. And then Congress has to act to withdraw the military aid from those countries.
Okay, that's...
David Price's number is?
Area code 202-225-1784. That's his D.C.
Repeat
number.
Repeat it.
Area code 202-225-1784.
And you can also call, we don't have the number handy, but you can call his Chapel Hill office and give them the same message. You heard this important, you know, Wilf broadcast today, and we would like to comment that it's important. David Price did not sign on the letter. He usually does not sign on to other people's letters. He likes to initiate his own, so he needs to initiate a Leahy. He's done this in 2012 with the Abrahamic Initiative, urging. He can do it. We're asking him to do it again, not only on this detention, but also on the destruction of Gaza.
You can try also, if you don't want to pay long-distance charges, the local number is area code 919-967-7924.
Again?
Area code 919-967-7924.
And that's his Chapel Hill office.
Right.
And I want to ask both Ruth and Miriam. Miriam, you've alluded to it, but the whole issue, which a lot of people do not realize, many resources, but water is critical. And I think you alluded to it too, Ruth, about being there and feeling that there was such a shortage of water that you all didn't take showers when you were there visiting Berlin because the people didn't have really enough water. Maybe you both could talk about that.
Well, We visited the Tent of Nations as well, and this is high up on a hill, and the electricity and the water was cut off by the Israeli government, so they built cisterns, and they put in solar panels. And when we were there, we slept overnight, in two giant tents, one for the men and one for the women. And we looked down and saw all the lights below, and they were Palestinian homes. And they had all the electricity they wanted.
Palestinian
were Israeli homes down the hill. No, we were up above in the Palestinian village.
Okay, so looking down at all the Israeli homes with all this electricity.
You saw that. And yet, the Tent of Nations, the land there, 100 acres, was given to the grandfather of the people who live there now. And they don't. I've been told by an academic that the Ottoman Empire didn't sell land for money. They said, "There is this land, and if you continue to occupy it, it is yours." Well, this family has occupied that land, and they have caves, and they have lived in the caves part of the time during bad weather. And the caves are beautifully painted by young students who come and volunteer during the summer. And it is an eco farm. They plant things. They have olive trees. I planted a tree for President Obama. And it is just pathetic that the Israeli government will do anything to try and keep these people from living there. But the people have gone to court two or three times. That piece of property has been surveyed by Palestinians. The Israelis would not accept that. It had to be surveyed twice again by Israelis. And that land is that land. They have a cave, and it is rounded. It has bookcases. It has Bibles. It is a church. These people are Christians. They are Christians. They have lived there year after year.
I want to get back to the water issue because I think Ruth made an important point in response to Lori's question. You know, not only are Palestinians doing remarkable things, by the way, their culture's also being destroyed systematically, but Israel is withholding water and electricity. I want to underscore that. We didn't mention that as part of the other human rights violations.
And
they're collecting taxes but not giving the money they collect back to the Palestinians so they can thrive.
They hold on to their taxes as punishment.
I should also say it's terrific that Ruth planted a tree, but they're also destroying ancient olive groves.
Olive groves. Yep.
So in the remaining time, I just want to make a few things and then Ruth can chime in. I do want to urge people, Sam on the phone is, as I said earlier, the Abrahamic Initiative's incredible webmaster. And I hope he's listening because he's remarkable and has a letter in today's that people should read in today's Capital News, either in print or online. But if you go to AIME Project, A-I-M-E, Project, one word, .org, you will see information, you'll see letters, you'll see Ruth's letters. We're posting it. We'll post letters online. But we have many links, including to Congressmember Price's 2012 a letter to the State Department, and our demand, really, to him now to resume that conversation with the State Department
and others of his colleagues. I just want to mention again, because we keep referring to AIM and the Abrahamic Initiative, that is a group of both Jewish, Christian, and Muslims. And that, Miriam, you helped start one of the to bring these different faiths together because they should be with each other, not any fights between them.
It's an extraordinary group of people that have been working on this, and it's not just faith leaders, by the way, it's human rights leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to talk about, Ruth, the 29th. I don't want to leave that. So here are actions. You can call Price, refer to this broadcast, go on aimproject.org, listen to what Ruth's personal testimony, but Price immediately should write two letters to the State Department, one on the detention of young people, which Leahy signed and Hank Johnson, and the other clearly on the Israeli destruction of Gaza, including, by the way, its hospitals and schools. And the other thing, I think, is the State Department that I mentioned earlier. I think we should really blast the State Department for hosting these tours when they, at the same time, they don't even investigate the very human rights violations of the people they're inviting into this country. Right. And finally, I just want to mention, we'll say it again next week, but April 29th, 7 p.m., at the Community Church of Chapel Hill, there will be, my name is Rachel Corey, and we could have a whole program on Rachel Corey, a wonderful young solidarity activist who went to Palestine to stand and protect Palestinian
families, an
American against house demolitions, and this will be a one-woman show on Rachel Corey.
And
she won't say what happened to her.
Tell her what happened to her.
Well, she was standing in front of a Palestinian home and
trying to protect it.
Trying to keep the bulldozer from wrecking the house. And they came closer and closer. They wrecked the house. They rode right over Rachel Corey.
She was standing there with an orange jacket.
And so they knew she was there. And this was a Caterpillar tank. Right. Now, I'd like to say that I walked with and talked with one of the people who is an Israeli, who is an who is against home destruction. She took us from one place to another place to see how
they destroyed. It's the Israeli Coalition Against House Demolitions.
Thank you.
Right.
And she showed us this house, and she said, this house is destroyed. You see part of it still standing, but you cannot live in it. And the people who own this house were told, you have so many days to clean up this land completely, or we will do it, and you will pay for it. So not only do they destroy your home, they make you pay to clean it up.
Oh, that's terrible. It gets worse every story you hear.
Now, there are peace activists who are Israelis. And one is Nomika Zion. And she lives in Sidrat. And we visited her home. She is about 1 mile away from Gaza Strip, where the rockets would be fired from, into her little kibbutz. There are about 7 families in that kibbutz. And she says, you know, I have a basement. I have a warning when the rockets come. And when the children are outside, they have a warning and they have a place to go to protect themselves from rockets. But the people in Palestine have no protection. She said, I've been living here for 26 years, but I am living on Palestinian land.
I also want to point out, by the way, you mentioned ICOD, the Israeli Coalition Against House Demolitions. There are really important Israeli Jewish activists who are also threatened when they go out and support the Palestinians
That's what I said.
Yeah. I also want to mention that the head of the the soldiers who are opposing, who served in the military.
Breaking the silence.
The head of Breaking the Silence is now here in the United States and is heading ICOD. And so it's important to know the Haaretz. It's important to know the Breaking the Silence. It's important to know B'Tselem, a major Jewish human rights group.
Well, I remember not that long ago we had Jewish Voices for Peace on this program. And there were four young people, and two of them were Israeli. And they were telling us, who are living here now,
I guess temporarily they still have their Israeli citizenship. And they were telling us how when they would demonstrate for peace, that Israel was getting more and more right-wing. And when they would be in these small demonstrations in Israel for peace, that they were being threatened, stones were thrown, that it was quite getting very scary for them to demonstrate, just like when we have protests here.
There's we got about half a minute left. So we need to wrap the show up.
Yeah, thank you so much, Miriam Thompson and Ruth South. This is Lori Hoyt, Dick Paddock, and Lee O'Hare. And this was the Wilf Wake Up Call, our weekly radio show. And come listen in next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For listening in, and we'll be back next week, as I said.
With Daniel Sells from Scarborough about hunger in Orange County.
Oh, boy. Okay, good. WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro.